Today on 4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872911.
Well, if you went back a few weeks ago, you'd be probably laughing at somebody who said, guess what, on the weekend, right at the end of February, as it will be, the election, the federal election will be called by Prime Minister Albanese. And they would have said, don't be silly. But that's the big tip now. The announcement could be coming this weekend. How the hell would you pick what's going on with the smearing of poor old Peter Dutton about his financial dealings over the last 24-48 hours? And he's very confident. He's not at all it's not at all ruffling his feathers, so I guess that's a good sign for him. Other people are getting quite angry at, well, the sort of games they play, the things that people stoop to leading up to an election, whether it be state or federal. Let me just quote this, though, from page one of yesterday's Australian newspaper. It said here that Allegra Spender is on track to comfortably retain the eastern Sydney electorate of Wentworth, according to the New Climate 200 polling, indicating the uphill battle Peter Dutton faces in reclaiming inner city teal seats, with Wentworth among five incumbent Climate 200-backed seats considered key election battlegrounds heading into the election. The poll they're talking about, the AU Comms poll, it's a little bit over 1,000 voters, revealed that Allegra Spender's leading Liberal candidate, Ro Knox, two-party preferred 57 to 42. Despite prominent Jewish Australian voters backing Ms Knox through volunteering and fundraising, the Electoral Commission redistributions are expected to help Allegra Spender retain the formerly blue-ribbon Liberal seat. So it's certainly not a done deal. It's a lot of complex matters to be taken into account. Of course, the gentleman who takes those complex matters into account, usually very accurately, is the Associate Professor of Politics and Journalism at Griffith University, Dr Paul Williams. Good morning.
G'day, John.
This is a challenging one, Paul, at the moment, isn't it? All sorts of combinations and permutations possible.
Absolutely. And we've seen three polls this week. They're all offering different stories. one of them is good news for Labor. It has actually Labor in front after preference vote, 51 to 49. That's the first time Labor's been in front since November last year. Mm. Another one is much more consistent. So that was a Roy Morgan poll. Another one is more consistent. Freshwater is telling us the story that we've heard before. Labor trailing 48 points to 52, which is what a lot of other polls have been saying, which means that the coalition would win about 13 seats but still fall short of forming majority government. And, of course, the big hurdle, as you just pointed out, for majority government for Peter Dutton is not being able to break through that teal wall in Sydney and Melbourne. And it looks like they won't be able to on those figures, although they might have a chance of winning back two of the three green seats in Brisbane, possibly, but that's still speculative. And then we've got a third poll, Resolve Strategic, which is a completely different story. Very good news for Peter Dutton. It actually has them ahead of the Labor Party 10 points, 55 to 45, which is a 7% swing, and that offers Dutton a small majority in his own right. So that's a huge disparity. So that's a disparity of, 6 points, 49 for Labor in one of them, and 51 down to 45, that's a 6-point gap. So you really don't know what to believe yet. It's going to be, well, we know it's going to be close, and it's still almost impossible for either side to form majority government. That's about the only thing we can say at this stage.
It's funny, any number of commentators would have thought the teals would have been a flash in the pan one term or whatever. Far from it, by the looks of things.
No, it's often these types of independence, John, that, you know, it's all care, no responsibility mentality. People love to elect because, you know, voters can go back to their independent or minor party or micro party, in this case, a teal candidate, and they might say, well, how come inflation hasn't come down, or it's come down? How come grocery prices haven't come down? And they say, you know what? I made these speeches in the parliament, but I wasn't listened to, and we can't do anything because we're not part of the government. And that's how minor parties can keep their political capital intact. They can blame Labor because they didn't do enough, and they can blame the opposition because they didn't do enough when they were in government. But when you're a crossbench, you tend to have, you know, all care, no responsibility. One of the reasons why Pauline Hanson's hung around for so long, you know, she gets very good at picking holes and things, not very good at offering solutions. And it's the same with a whole range of independents. I've seen no evidence that the Teals are getting up people's noses in the same way the Greens are getting up people's noses.
Yeah.
So we know that the Greens' votes hit a ceiling in Queensland in 2024. It did go up, but only marginally. They lost the seat. We saw the Greens hit the wall in the Piran and Werribee by-elections in Melbourne, and they lost the seat. So we put that down to the Greens trying to, first of all, talk about things outside the environment, which voters don't like. They don't like the Greens talking about economics. And also the Greens recalcitrance on things like blocking the housing bill and the Greens' militancy on things like Gaza and on marching to the CFMEU. So it looks like the Greens have probably peaked and may get us, and certainly if they vote does go up, it won't go up by much, but may in fact come down. Whereas the Teals haven't really annoyed people in that same way. So I'm expecting every Teal to be returned, except, of course, for the lady whose seat was abolished in Sydney. So the Teals will come down by one because New South Wales lost the seat.
Let me ask you this, because I know you have your finger a lot of pies internationally when it comes to politics too. I'm just astounded by Donald Trump's behaviour and the fact that so many people seem to be quite comfortable with it. His best friend suddenly, Vladimir Putin. Just let me quote this from the Courier Mail today. Ukraine has agreed on the terms of a minerals deal with the United States and could sign it tomorrow. Now, it goes on to give more details. Donald Trump, in part of a dramatic shift of policy, including reaching out to Russia, has demanded Ukraine give access to its rare earth minerals to compensate for the billions of dollars of wartime aid it received from Joe Biden. And the deal would see the United States jointly develop Ukraine's mineral wealth, with revenues going to a newly created fund that would be joint for Ukraine and America. I'm just stunned by these developments. I mean, these things, if they were going to happen, you would expect would take months or even years. This has sort of happened in little more than a week.
Well, it does. You know, international relations are at flashpoint, and you could put it down to Donald Trump's superior negotiating skills, or you could put it down to President Zelensky and the Ukrainian people's desperation that, you know, they can get a ceasefire with Russia in a matter of days and not months or years and end the bloodshed. And I think that's probably pragmatism, you know, part of realpolitik, the politics of the real world, that Zelensky has basically said, you know, he's been told that, you know, this would be a bit like, you know, the Russians in Afghanistan or, the Americans in Vietnam. This could keep going for, you know, more than a decade.
Yes.
How many more lives do you want to lose? Mm. And so Zelensky wants to save Ukrainian lives. He wants to save the Ukrainian economy. So basically what the deal is, from what I understand, is that, you know, it looks as though Putin will be able to keep the lands that they've confiscated from Ukraine, so the border will be redrawn, and then in return for the money that's been given, that the West, particularly the United States, has given the Ukraine, that will be repatriated back, as you say, through mineral deals. So it's far from what Zelensky would want, but it's better than probably what would have happened to the Ukraine over the next 10 years. I think Zelensky's being realistic.
Just back to our federal scene once again. Josh Frydenberg recently on television been very prominent, of course, obviously taking up the cudgels on behalf of the Jewish population, Jewish citizens here in Australia. What's his future politically?
This is a really good question. He's been mooted for a comeback for some time. And when he's been asked publicly, he has said, "I'm not interested." Now, we all know that's probably just poly talk. You know, politicians say one thing and do another all the time. But I'd be very surprised if we don't see Frydenberg come back in some capacity. Yeah. It was even rumoured that he might go into state politics to rescue the Victorian Liberal Party. Well, the Victorian Liberal Party changed its leaders, we know, recently, and it seems to rescue itself. The Victorian Liberal Party is looking a lot healthier the last few months, and the Victorian Labor government is looking a lot more unhealthy.
Yes.
So I'd be very surprised if we never heard from Frydenberg. Look, I don't think we're going to see Frydenberg pop up in a seat in 2025, but, he may come back in some capacity. Some have mentioned the Senate. I don't think he'll be a senator because that means he will be ruled out of the potential to lead the Liberal Party in the lower house. So, look, I'd be very surprised if we don't see Frydenberg come back some point for a lower house seat.
Does Monique Ryan look safe in Kooyong?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think so. That's the sort of seat, you know, it's a bit like those plus Eastern Sydney seats.
Yes.
They've got plenty of cash up. You've got, interestingly, this might surprise a lot of listeners, but you've got a significant number of constituents in those seats who have so much money, that means they can entertain what we call post-material politics in their head. And, you know, a lot of these people actually say, "I don't pay enough tax. I want to pay more tax." So that's not the kind of, you know, you wouldn't think that's a natural constituency of the Liberal Party anymore. Yes. That's more of a Greens or Teals mindset. So it's going to be very difficult for the Liberals to break through that unless the Liberals get a charismatic leader that sort of appeals across the board. As I've long argued, Peter Dutton seems to be loved in Queensland, at least at the outer suburbs and regions, and probably even the outer suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne. But he's not going to be loved in those inner city or middle suburbs of Perth, Sydney, Adelaide and Melbourne and in Brisbane, which the LNP needs to win. So you've got seats in Brisbane like Morton and Lilly, which are mortgage belt seats, that the LNP probably should have won a long time ago. But they're sitting on margins of about 10%. So the LNP, won't pick up seats that they should pick up. So it seems like Peter Dutton's appeal stops at the gates of the capital cities.
God, this is looking neck and neck. Really appreciate this update, Paul. Very interesting indeed. Thank you.
My pleasure.
That's Dr. Paul Williams, the Associate Professor in Politics and Journalism at Griffith University.